Good morning, Papa Springs. Who's excited for some announcements? I have a few announcements and then a group activity that we're going to do together. So the first announcement is there will be no Christmas post office this year. Usually we take up the cards, but due to the virus, we're not going to do that. But they will be posting shut-ins, addresses in the newsletter, so be on the lookout for that. And we encourage you to send them letters. The new offertory envelopes are in for 2021 in the office. If you are coming by to drop off anything for the next couple of weeks, just make sure you grab your box of envelopes at that time. Youth, we will meet this Wednesday for high school only. Please check your email for details and bring a mask. If you are interested in helping ring the bell this Christmas for the Salvation Army, let one of the staff know or Matt Harris. Okay, for the group activity, I need you to get your cell phone out for just a second. It's okay, it's allowed. Don't get scared. Okay, what I would like you to do in the month of November, we often take time to say or reflect back on things that we're thankful for. I would like for you to take just a second and send a quick text saying, "I am thankful for you," just to whoever's laid on your heart. Just a quick one-sentence text saying, "I appreciate you." It could be your staff, it could be your wife, it could be a coworker. Just to a simple text saying, "I appreciate you." And if you're not comfortable texting right now or you don't text, maybe sometime this week give somebody a call. And before you put the phone up, I've got one more person to text. As you're wrapping up that first text, look around and notice who you may not have seen at church for a little while. And this also relates to people that are home watching online. If you haven't seen people that are in the building, that's perfectly fine. I want you to send a text to someone and say, "I miss seeing you at church." Just a simple one line, "I miss seeing you at church." Whether you watch this today, Monday, sometime during the week, still make that text to somebody. It's important during this time that we don't get so separated and disconnected because of a virus. Make sure we're still connecting to our friends and remaining in fellowship with our other congregation members. Now we will go into the lighting of the Advent candle. Every year we light candles as we prepare for the coming of Christ. More and more candles, more and more light, as we watch and wait for Jesus, the light of the world. Today we light the candle of hope. This candle represents the expectation of a coming King, the Prince of Peace, into our broken world. We come today ready to listen, ready to be open, ready to love, as we wait for our coming King. Stir your love in our hearts, O God, that your church may be strengthened as we worship you. Amen.
Hark how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, "Throw cares away, Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold."
Ding dong, ding dong,
ding dong, ding dong, that is our song, with joyful ring, all caroling.
One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air.
More how they proud, raising their sound,
gaily they ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
One
seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they pound, raising their song, o'er hill and dale, telling their tale. Gaily they ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
As we come time to our community of prayer, Andy's usually the one that fills me in on who needs prayer. So all I know is that Andy says to tell you guys thank you. He's doing very well. We've FaceTimed him and texted him and talked to him on the phone this week. He's doing very well, and he appreciates all of you and your words of encouragement and your phone calls and your text. So thank you for all of that. And please feel free to contact Catherine or myself this week if you know of people who are having surgery or people who need to be on our prayer list. If you would pray with me. Father, we pray together at this time, lifting up the many names of our congregation and of our community that are in need. Those that need healing, those that need comfort, and those that need peace. We praise you for our pastor and his successful surgery. And we take a moment right now, Father, to lift up names that are on our own hearts and prayers that we have that remain unspoken. Today marks the beginning of the Advent season, and so we come to the altar in search of hope. In a world that is full of people and places, Lord, and things in which we can find false hope, will you redirect our eyes to that which is divine? Will you guard our minds from the things that steal away our thoughts from what is holy and good to what is fleeting and empty? Will you gently whisper to our hearts, speak over the deafening lies about who we are and what we are worth? And in doing so, will you breathe hope into us again? Forgive us for being so easily distracted and quick to turn away from your truth and life. And remember us, your people, and unveil your faithfulness to us again, your faithfulness which has never turned away from us. Amen. Today, in Andy's absence, we have Dr. Jim McConnell, who's here today. He is the Associate Dean of the School of Divinity at Gardner-Webb. And many of you have seen him before. He's been here, I think, two springs in a row doing our spring Bible study. And several of us who've been through the School of Divinity have had him. He's a phenomenal professor, and we are glad to have him. So, Dr. McConnell, it's all yours.
Thank you, Nicole, and thank all of you for having me. It's good to be here with you, and it is really good to hear the reports about Andy. That is definitely an answer to many prayers that I've lifted up on his behalf and on your behalf, too. So we're extremely thankful for that. It's good to be here with you today. If you have your Bibles, I am going to read from Isaiah chapter 64. I'm going to read the first 9 verses of Isaiah 64. So hear now the word of the Lord. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you are angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. So this past weekend, the weekend before Thanksgiving, my wife and I got to spend some time with friends of ours. And these are folks we've known for years, literally decades. We did the adult version of a backyard campout. We literally set up tents and camped in my friend's yard. Well, when my son heard this, he said, "That sounds really goofy." But I'm not sure he understands. My friend's backyard is 120 acres of woods and has a couple streams running through it. It was like camping at a campground at a state park, except we had a really nice kitchen in which we could prepare our food, and the bathroom was a whole lot nicer. But it was just so good to be outside with good friends. We were sitting around the fire pit sharing good food and good conversation. We even made s'mores because, well, of course we made s'mores. But as we sat around the fire, I noticed something that during the last 8 or 9 months I've experienced over and over and over, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. Think about the conversations you've had over the past few months. Think about how quickly those conversations come around to the pandemic. How that topic dominates what we talk about. Before this year, the word COVID was not a part of my vocabulary. I had no idea what COVID meant. And now I am so sick of talking about it and thinking about it, but here I go again. It's like I can't help myself, so I apologize for bringing it up yet again. But how many times lately have you heard or read something along the lines of, well, I sure cannot wait for 2020 to be over, or can we not get a do-over on 2020? And it has indeed been a difficult year. And of course, it all started back in the early part of the year with the pandemic. In March of this year, during our spring break, I went backpacking with a friend who teaches biology at Gardner-Webb. And I remember very well him saying something like, well, yeah, they're saying, you know, whoever they are, they're saying that as soon as it gets warm, this virus is probably going to disappear. Well, so much for that prediction. I was supposed to do a wedding next month in December on the 19th. The bride had always dreamed of a Christmas wedding. And so I did the premarital counseling in June with the couple, and we were all thinking, well, surely that wedding's going to come off as planned. Well, that was rather naive. So, be the master of the obvious, the pandemic has caused many of us truly to suffer. And I don't mean suffering because somebody's asking us to wear masks. And I don't mean suffering because we can't go to our favorite restaurants. And no, I don't mean suffering because we can't go to the movies, or I can't watch my favorite sports team in person, can't go to a concert, or my team's game got canceled because somebody tested positive. I'm not talking about not meeting for worship like we're used to or for Bible study like we're used to. I'm talking about real suffering. Folks have lost loved ones because of the virus. Folks have gotten very sick due to the virus. Loved ones can't visit their aged relatives in nursing homes. Others can't be by the side of those who are sick or even dying. I've heard stories of hospitals that have too few ventilators and doctors literally having to decide who gets to breathe today. Many have lost jobs and are struggling financially. This is the kind of suffering I'm talking about, not the inconveniences that the pandemic has caused. But the pandemic is not the only thing that has occupied our attention this year. Did you hear we had an election this month in the United States? I try not to watch a whole lot of TV, and the political ads that I saw over and over again this fall reinforced to me that this is a very worthy goal. Those ads, to me, also proved what Paul told believers in Rome a long time ago. Paul could have been talking about our political season when he wrote the following to the Romans. He paraphrases Psalm 14, and he says, "There is no one who is righteous, not even one." And in Psalm 5, he says, "Their throats are opened graves. They use their tongues to deceive." And Paul summarizes this point in chapter 3 when he says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so to say the least, our political season this year was marked by some serious division. But unfortunately, politics was not the only issue over which we chose to divide ourselves this year. We were and are significantly divided over race. We're all aware of the violence we experienced this year due to issues surrounding race and racism. And most unfortunately, we're even divided within the church. I know of one pastor who resigned from his position because the church was so severely divided that the pastor could no longer handle trying to bring unity to the church. And at this point, this pastor doesn't even know if ministry is in his future because of the emotional toll of trying to keep the church together. So the New York Times has a Thanksgiving tradition. The editors of the Times invite readers to summarize what they're thankful for in 6 words. And one of the entries this year was, "This stinking year is almost over." And that about captures it. So I'm sure we can all agree with the prophet who cries out in our passage today, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations might tremble at your presence." If ever we needed Advent, we need it now. We are in dire need of our Lord's comforting, glorious presence. I can't speak for you, but I am just plain weary. I'm emotionally wiped out. I am like many of you. I haven't seen my daughter, who lives in Nebraska, in person since last Christmas. I haven't been with my son and daughter-in-law and twin grandsons who live in Oklahoma since July. And although I am very thankful for modern technology that gives us Zoom and FaceTime, I am tired of getting together virtually. I'm sick of interacting with my students electronically. I'm just tired and frustrated. And so as we look around at the remnants of 2020 and the legacy we are leaving, we might be tempted to say, along with the prophet, "There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity." When I look back on 2020, what I see is fear and chaos and violence and division. And fear and chaos and violence and division are not what I associate with our gracious and loving Lord Jesus Christ. We might truly wonder if God has, in fact, not hidden his face from us and delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. But let's be clear. Fear, chaos, violence, and division are not from God. They are from us. The prophet is correct when he says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." And if we call on God, like the prophet Isaiah, to make your name known to your adversaries, we need to remember the words of Walt Kelly, who in his comic strip Pogo in 1970 said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." So last weekend, around that fire pit that I was sitting around with my friends, our conversation turned to a minister who had had an inappropriate relationship with a woman who was not his wife. And one of my friends commented that oftentimes the enemy, meaning Satan, especially attacks ministers. And I said, "Yes, that might be true, but all too often I think we blame Satan when we should look in the mirror. We have to admit that we have all become like one who is unclean, and our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth." Seems to me the pandemic has provided more evidence that this is true. And some might consider the pandemic as God's punishment for humanity's rebellion against God. But it seems to me, though, that the pandemic has been the stressor that has revealed our true fallen selves. Instead of uniting against this disease and trying to do what's right for others, we have chosen to use it as just another way to cause division among ourselves, even within the church. Like I said, I am weary. I am worn out. I'm emotionally drained, and I have to realize that my fallenness has contributed to the chaos in which we live. "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so the mountains would quake at your presence." We hear the prophet in very similar circumstances. In the prophet's day, the people were lamenting the sacking and the burning of Jerusalem, including the temple in which where the people would meet God. In our day, the chaos and division around us might cause us to think that God has deserted us. But thanks be to God, that is not the case. In the season of Advent, we celebrate the fact that God has come and is present among us. In the prophet's words, we hear what I call this divine yet. The prophet speaks for all of us when he says, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." He then prays a prayer we would all do well to pray. "Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember our iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people." And so during Advent, we celebrate that God has answered the prayer of the prophet. God has torn open the heavens and come down to earth in order to forgive us our iniquity. Despite the disorder that we cause in the world, despite our rebellion against God, the one who created us, God remains our Lord and our loving Father. Even though we have shaken our fist in God's face and told God we don't need you, God continues to love us and care for us. Despite the fact that we are selfish and arrogant, God welcomes us into his presence. God patiently waits for us to recognize our sin, confess our sin, and return to him, looking for God's forgiveness and God's love. This yet represents a divine reversal of our fortunes, and it is entirely dependent on God's grace. We turn away from God and God's ways, and meanwhile, God patiently waits for us to return to him and welcomes us back when we do. But at this point, I need to digress for just a moment. The prophet here uses a couple images for God. One is God as creator, and the other one is God as a father. And these images are linked to some degree. So included in the metaphor is God who gives us life and provides for us, God who loves us and protects us from harm. And I want to recognize and admit that this idea of God as Father is for some of us not necessarily a positive image. Some of our earthly fathers have fallen short of this ideal fatherhood. Some of us have had fathers who were not loving, not good providers. Some of us who have had fathers who have failed to protect us. And because of human sinfulness, some of us have even suffered at the hands of our earthly fathers. And if you find yourself in this situation, please know that God grieves for you and wants to comfort you in your suffering. God desires for you to turn to him and to embrace him as the perfect, ideal father that you may not have had. So a loving God welcomes us, even as rebellious children, into his presence. And he takes up our cause, doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So the biblical plot line is clear. God has always been at work on behalf of humanity. In the passage we're considering today, the prophet Isaiah certainly understands this. He first asks God to act, saying, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence." And he bases this request on God's actions in the past. He says, "When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence." He goes on to say, "From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him." And this sets the stage for Advent. At Advent, we celebrate the coming of the Lord. In Isaiah, we read the prophet's call on God to come and intervene on our behalf. And in Christ, God has done so. The mountains did not literally quake as when God came to Israel on Mount Sinai, but he has indeed torn open the heavens and come down to earth in order to be present among us. In telling the story of Jesus' birth, Matthew quotes the prophet Isaiah saying, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. In Christ, God has not only acted on our behalf, God has done so in a way that on the surface makes no sense at all. Isaiah and the other prophets foresaw an apocalyptic, earth-shattering action from God through which God would redeem and restore Israel. And God does act, but instead of shaking the earth and bringing the fire of judgment, God sends his son, a vulnerable human baby, to a poor, humble couple. But just because it's not literally earth-shattering, is it any less reason to rejoice and celebrate? God has acted. God has taken the initiative. God has done for all humanity and what humans themselves are incapable of doing. God has come to earth in Christ to redeem us and restore us to God's image. The questions that Isaiah asked God have clearly been answered. "After all this, will you restrain yourself, O Lord? Will you keep silent and punish us so severely?" At Advent, we celebrate God's answer. "No," God says, "I will not keep silent. In Christ, God has acted on our behalf." So Isaiah recognized that God has acted on behalf of Israel in the past. He acknowledges that no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. We, from our vantage point in history, can also acknowledge that God indeed works for those who wait for him. We have seen the evidence of Christ's birth in Bethlehem. We have experienced God working in us through Christ, blessing us with his forgiveness and restoring us in our relationship with him. We know when we take time to stop and reflect that God has acted and continues to act in our lives. And this is the blessing of Advent. We have the opportunity, if we take the time to pause and reflect on what God has done in our lives through Christ, and to renew our hope for what God will continue to do in our lives through Christ. But somehow we have to disconnect ourselves from the chaos that has been the year 2020. So for the past 8 months or so, part of my exercise routine has been doing laps around our neighborhood pretty much every morning. Even though the YMCA is open again, I have yet to return to my usual habit of exercising in the morning at the Y. Now, in walking around my neighborhood, I have noticed this year that folks seem to be putting up their Christmas decorations a little bit early, and I think I know why. I'm not the only one who is weary and tired. We all are, and decorating our homes for Christmas is one way of distracting ourselves from everything that's going on around us. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with this, as long as we remember that our decorations are in celebration of what God has done for us in Christ. We must take time to try and reflect on what is truly important this time of year, which is celebrating the coming of the Lord. And so at Advent, we do celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We recognize that God has indeed torn open the heavens and come down. But Advent is also a time of anticipation, waiting on God once again to tear open the heavens and come down. And when I think of Advent, I can't help but think of Christmases past. I really like this time of year because it brings to mind these incredible childhood memories. Now, I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I attended an Episcopal church. My parents were charter members of the church. My dad is still a member there. My dad was actually raised as a Baptist, but when he married my mom, who is an Episcopalian, he began to worship and serve in the Episcopal church. And so, ironically, here I am raised in the Episcopal church, and I meet a woman who's a Baptist. Well, now I'm worship in the Baptist context. I consider myself a Baptist. Well, the cycle continues because I have a son who was raised a Baptist, and guess what? He married an Episcopalian, and now they're in the Episcopalian church. But many of you had the same experience that I did. Whenever church was open, we were there. Whatever was going on in the church, we were part of it. Now, in the Episcopal tradition, probably a bit more so than a lot of Baptist churches, the life of the church revolved around the church year, the church calendar. And so, for example, I can vividly as a kid remember dreading Lent, because the liturgy we said every Sunday at Lent was so repetitive, and as a kid it was the worst. It was so boring. But as much as I dreaded Lent, I loved to see Advent coming. Now, in the Episcopal tradition, the church is not decorated until Christmas Eve. So the first time you're in the church worshiping in a decorated church is the midnight service at Christmas Eve. But you know you're in Advent because the altar is draped in purple cloth, and the Advent wreath in our church was actually hung, because we had about the coolest Advent wreath I have ever seen. And as far as I know, it's still being used in my home church. It was actually made out of an old wagon wheel, and the four purple candles were around the rim of the wagon wheel, and in the center was the Christ candle, the white candle. And so as a kid, I can vividly remember looking up at that wreath hanging from the beams of the church and being able to count the weeks until Christmas. I had no need to continue to ask my parents, how long until Christmas? Because the Advent wreath was keeping time for me. One candle lit, two candles lit, three candles lit, fourth candles lit, and finally on Christmas Eve at the midnight service, the Christ candle would be lit. We always attended that midnight service after spending time at my grandparents. I would sit with my grandfather's sister, my Aunt Bo, because my parents were in the choir. And it's Indianapolis. It's Christmas Eve. It's always cold. She'd wear a big fur coat, and I would cuddle up next to her. Oh, it was just great. So these memories come flooding back to me at Advent, memories of this incredible anticipation I had as a kid. Advent meant that Christmas was not far away. But let's be clear, my anticipation of Christmas as a kid was based on one thing: greed. Because I knew it was about time to start opening presents. As an adult, I also have this sense of anticipation when it comes to Christmas. I look forward to getting all my grading finished and the semester coming to a close. Students aren't the only ones who enjoy a break from school. I look forward to, in normal years, getting together with family and friends and eating good food. But I hope and pray that as an adult, I have matured spiritually enough that my sense of anticipation around Christmas is a bit deeper than just taking a break from teaching and eating good food with my friends and family. At Advent, we do celebrate the coming of the Lord. We celebrate that divine yet, the fact that even though we are rebellious children, God loves us anyway. He loves us enough to give himself for us and for our salvation. But Advent is also a time of anticipation, awaiting the return of the Lord. We look forward to Jesus coming once again to establish his kingdom once and for all, removing chaos and violence and division from all of creation. We look forward to that glorious time for which we are all hoping. In the season of Advent, we celebrate and yet await the coming of the Lord. In the meantime, as we wait, we are called to live out those kingdom values that Jesus demonstrated through his ministry and taught us to do the same. We're called to be his loving, peacemaking fellow followers here on earth. So amid the chaos and the division, we as followers of Jesus are called to be sources of peace and love rather than contributors to the disorder and turmoil going on around us. We need to confess our failures to God, to each other, and to the world around us. For those times we have been divisive and caused conflict rather than made peace. As we celebrate and yet still await the coming of the Lord, may we, those of us who claim to be Jesus' followers, be a source of healing in this season of Advent. May we be enabled by the Holy Spirit to be a people of peace in this divided, chaotic world. May the Spirit of Jesus empower us to be sources of God's comfort and support to those who have suffered during the pandemic. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. Come, Lord Jesus, our Lord, come. And so the invitation today is to lean into Advent, to lean away from everything that's going on, and to embrace the hope that this season represents. As we celebrate the coming of the Lord and actively await his return, by actively I mean, again, being those sources of grace and peace that this world so desperately needs. So I invite you to reflect on that.
Take me, O Lord, to Bethlehem.
rest beside the weary road and hear the welcome song. Peace on earth to men, all goodwill. Oh, come, all ye faithful, the star is shining still. The star is shining still.
I too have seen plenty of people decorating for Christmas early. Now I thought, if there's ever been a year to just put your tree up right after Halloween, this would be the year to do it. We want to thank you guys for being here with us as we start Advent, as we enter into this Advent and Christmas season. For those of you watching from home, thank you for joining us. Dr. McConnell, thank you so much for being here in Andy's absence, for bringing us a word we need to hear today as we begin Advent. I pray that as we journey together through this season, we talked this morning in youth about how sometimes when we journey through Christmas, it's just the same thing we do every year. It's Christmas. We put our decorations up, we go to church, we sing the carols, we see the lights, and it's the same thing every year. But the good, important thing about Advent, it prepares our heart. It helps us to stop and ponder why we celebrate, why we hang the decorations, why we gather, why we sing the carols. It hones us into the true meaning. And helps us to get away from the hustle and bustle that gets us distracted. So thank you for that reminder today, Dr. McConnell. We have been challenged this morning. I want to ask that you go to the door, Dr. McConnell, as we pray. I'm going to ask you to go to the door. If you have any prayer concerns this week, Matt Harris is our deacon of the week. So if you cannot reach Nicole or I at the office, you can contact Matt and he'll be happy to assist you. So as we prepare to leave, would you join me as we pray? Father God, we are so thankful for this Advent season. And as we journey through each week, as we focus on hope and peace and joy and love, God, as we journey toward Christmas Day, may you remind us of the real reason why we celebrate. Would you remind us of the true nature of your sacrifice for us through your Son, Jesus? And may the weight of that weigh on our hearts. May that be where we find our true sense of joy and celebration this season. God, thank you that despite the fact that we are sinners who have fallen short, God, that you still love us, that you still have a purpose for us, that you still fight for us. As we enter into this season and as we journey together, God, may you empower us to go and be your light to this world. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful Sunday.